Hi, this is Doug Fain, and welcome to All Things Jessamine for this Saturday morning. 24 years ago, this coming Monday, January the 2nd, Jessamine County lost two firemen. Jessamine County Fire Chief Mike Wheeler and Jessamine County Firefighter Cecil Fain. Today, we're going to talk about that incident and those people and what they left behind. We'll be right back with our guest right after this word.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here. Well, today we thought we would look back at an incident that took place 24 years ago on Monday, January the 2nd. And with me today, I have Gerald Wheeler. Hello, Gerald. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to talk about an incident that affected the families of yours and mine. And we're not necessarily going to make this into a gruesome time. We want this to be a celebration and a history lesson, if you will, of the two guys that were involved in an accident that took place ago. And it's hard to believe it's been 24 years. But that afternoon, Gerald, as you well remember, how old were you that day?
I was 13 years old, Doug.
13. That afternoon, we both received word that your father, Mike Wheeler, who was the chief of the Jessamine County Fire Department, and my brother, Cecil Fain, who was a firefighter with Jessamine County, and he was a professional firefighter with Lexington, had been involved in an accident that took place out on East Hickman Road. In that accident, they both died. So we're going to talk about them today and where they came from and the legacy that they left behind. So, Gerald, let's start with Mike. Let's talk about when he was born, where, and his family.
Dad was born January 27th, 1955. He was a lifelong resident of Jessamine County. Mm-hmm. He married my mother. He had three kids. He had myself, my sister Ashley, and my brother Mikey.
Now, is your mom from here too, Brenda?
Mom's originally from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Okay. So they hooked up, and the three kids at that time, Mikey, how was Mikey the day of the accident? You remember?
I think he was around 17 years old.
And you were 13, mm-hmm. and Ashley was 9 or 10?
Yeah, she was
somewhere
young.
In there.
She was a lot younger, yeah.
And he was 38 years old, I think, mm-hmm. When the accident occurred, or was going to be that
right.
year. He was shy, 25 days
right, 25
of being
days,
38
right.
years old. Now, he was from the Wheeler family, and tell us, if you will, how did he get involved in fire service? What brought that all about? Do you know?
I didn't talk to Dad much about how he got involved in the fire department, but talking to Mom, Dad was real big in the community and wanting to participate and stuff with to help out. And he started with the city of Nicholsville Fire Department volunteer mm-hmm. and then switched over to the county fire department where he ultimately became the fire chief of Jessamine County.
Now, do you know how long he'd been chief?
Not offhand.
Yeah. It wasn't that awful long, mm-hmm. but he involved in the county fire department. Now, he still worked at the city of Nicholasville.
Yep, at the water department.
So that's what he was doing when that happened. Now, with him that day, as I mentioned, was my brother, my only sibling, Cecil. And to tell you a little bit about him, I guess I'm kind of interviewing myself here in this program, which is a little odd. But anyway, Cecil was born in 1965. He was born March 17th. He was a St. Patrick's Day child. And of course, we are the sons of Howard Fain and Ruth Ann Fain. And Cecil that day was 27 when it occurred. He would have been 28 that following March. Cecil married a girl from here in Nicholasville named Paula Carson. And at the time of his death, they had a child, Caleb, who was 16 months old the day of the accident. Of course, it's hard to believe now that Caleb is already 24 years old with a child of his own. But anyway, Cecil got involved with the fire department, too. And kind of like your dad, he started out with Nicholasville with the volunteer department. At that time, it wasn't paid. It was all volunteer.
All volunteer, yeah.
And then he switched over to the Jessamine County, but he also got a full-time job with the Lexington Fire Department, and that's where he was working full-time. Now, let's talk about the day this all happened. I remember from my recollection, Cecil had actually worked the night before at Lexington. And what they do up there, and I guess maybe it's this way down here with Nixville, I don't know, but you work on 24 hours and you're off
48. Yeah, 24-48.
So he had worked 24 hours, and it was really odd because he worked on New Year's Day. The accident occurred January 2nd, but he'd worked the night before, and I actually had gone to the Lexington Fire Department to visit with him for a few hours the night before that all happened. And from what I was told, that he came in that next day after working 24 hours, and of course, you know, as you know, as a deputy sheriff, when you do that, you're probably ready to get some sleep.
Yeah.
But I remember him told his wife, Paula, that they needed to go to Lexington because Caleb, the baby, needed some shoes. And she tried to say, well, why don't we do that later? And he's like, no, we need to do that now. And they actually did. And then when they came back, the tone went off for the call in which him and your dad went on out on East Hickman Pike. Now, that's kind of the events that I remember my bunch leading up to. What do you remember about before all that happened? Now, your dad, you said, coached you in basketball, right?
He was an assistant coach, and he was actually taken over as the head coach for that game. Uh-huh. And I remember walking out into the parking lot of Nicholsville Elementary, and the tone dropped. You know, we get into his Fire Suburban and turn the lights and sirens uh-huh. on, and we go down to the station. I actually seen your brother and my dad get on the truck and take out.
And take off. So the last time you saw him was right there just an hour or two before it happened.
Yep.
And the last time I saw Cecil was the day before it happened. So you were still at the fire station, I think, when all this occurred.
Yeah.
At 13 years old. What do you remember happening?
Well, being 13 and growing up in the fire department and loving the fire department, I understand the jargon of the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I know if you had urgency in your voice, it was something was going on. And,
right.
And sure enough, I could tell something bad was going on. And it was really, it's hard to explain on what kind of feelings I had at that time, because it's such a long time ago. It raised the hair on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
And there was some firefighters' wives down there hearing the same thing that I was hearing. We ended up getting into a vehicle and headed out to East Hickman.
Now, you knew something was happening. Did you know at the time your dad was involved?
No, I honestly thought I heard him on the radio.
Okay. Well, and we kind of have to parallel this story. We're going to jump back and forth, folks, because you know he'll tell a little bit of his and I'll tell a little bit of mine. What I remember about learning about the accident to start with is I actually was working at WNVL, the old radio station. I had pulled a shift that morning from 6 to 10. I had a regular show on Saturday mornings. But I had stayed around the station because the night before, Cecil had given me a computer game. Now, I'm not talking about the Xbox PlayStation. I'm talking about the old disc that you put in your old computer. I didn't have a computer, so I stayed at the radio station and used theirs to play this game that he had given me. And stayed there all afternoon and went home at about 3 o'clock. Finally, went home and walked in my door and the phone rang. And it was my sister-in-law, Paula. Now, Cecil and him lived only two streets behind me. And she said, something's going on. Said, we don't know what. So she was kind of like you. She had heard on the radio that he had left at home that something was happening, but she wasn't for sure. The only thing I do remember, though, Gerald, is she said, I can't hear Cecil's voice. So I took off, went over there, and there we sat and we waited. Now, let's pick back up on your story. You knew something was going on, and you all took off towards the fire. Now, it was on East Hickman, is that right?
Yes, and we got stopped by Glendon Roberts,
yeah,
which was a constable at the time.
Yeah.
He stopped us. One of the ladies from the van got out, and she just started breaking down.
Yeah.
And at this time, I was the only male, other than another juvenile, which that was his mother, that was talking.
Yeah.
And it was instant. I knew it was Dad.
You knew.
I knew it from right there.
Did you think at that moment that maybe he was just hurt, or that, you know, what did you, do you remember?
Doug, I'm going to tell you, it was just like slow motion.
Yeah.
Everything. I got out of the van. I seen the truck. I knew it. That was Dad and Cecil's truck.
So you saw it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Seen it. Tried to run down towards it.
Yeah.
And I was apprehended.
Well, now let's tell people about the truck in case they're hearing this for the first time. This was a tanker.
Yeah.
A tanker truck, which holds how many gallons of water?
That holds 2,000 gallons.
Okay. So, and it was still loaded from what I remember.
It had some used from the fire. Back then, it wasn't mandated to have baffles. And a baffle, what it does is it controls that water from sloshing back and forth. And unfortunately, when Dad took off the side of the road, it came back and the water sloshed, which made it overturn.
So it didn't have the baffles.
Right.
Now, they were on their way back. Mm-hmm. The fire had been put out, and they were on their way back to Nicholasville together. Your dad was driving. Mm-hmm. Cecil was in the passenger side. And as he just alluded to, you know, just one of those things that happens. It was an accident. Folks, they call it an accident for a reason, because that's what it is. It's just an accident. The tires, I guess, got a little bit too close to the road, and because because there was no baffles, when you overcorrect and you've got that kind of weight, you're kind of top heavy, as a matter of fact, and you don't have those baffles, basically what happened is the truck overturned and kind of spun and hit this tree. Now, when I got to my sister-in-law's, Paula, she told me she couldn't hear his voice. And the first thing in my mind was, he's hurt. It never dawned on me that he would have died. It just that he is hurt. And the only thing that went through my mind was, you know, if I have to take her to the hospital, we've got this 16-month-old baby here, Caleb, Cecil's son, who we got to deal with. So I called her mother. And I said, you need to get over here quick. If you can, just come right over here. We don't know really what's going on, but if I have to take her to Lexington, we need somebody to take care of the child. It seemed like she was there in seconds. So she came, and I remember at that time, Gerald, they had those little handheld radio-type pager things.
Pagers, yeah.
I could hear voices, but I couldn't hear him. And I tried to tell myself, well, he's tied up. But the more it went, the more I felt like something is really wrong here. You just get that gut feeling that something is really bad wrong. And the longer it went without hearing him, I really wondered what had happened. Okay, so that's kind of where I was. Now, you were headed to the truck. You were stopped.
Yeah, I was stopped by another fireman that grabbed me up. And at that point, you know, I just collapsed and I knew that Dad was gone.
But you hadn't been told.
And I hadn't been told.
But you knew.
But I knew it.
And you know, it's weird how you have those feelings, because ours was kind of the same way. My mother called. And at that time, Mom and Dad listened to the scanner all the time. That was when it was really big.
Yeah.
And they had heard all of this. And she called and she said on the phone, Doug, Steve is here. Now, I have to tell you some background story on this. Back several years ago when I still lived at home, one night late, I was doing the morning shows at WNVL. Steve Walker was sheriff, and he called for me one night about something. I had nothing to do with anything other than maybe work. Something maybe he wanted on the radio. And he asked my mom late at night, is Doug there? Well, it scared her to death. And he told her, Miss Fain, I would never call you with bad news. I would never do that. I'd always come and see you. Well, that day, Steve was sheriff when this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And usually the coroner notifies the family, who was Sharon Reynolds. But he told Sharon, he said, I have to do this. I have to go tell his parents. And the reason is I made them a promise one time that if anything ever bad happened, I'd go tell them. And Steve showed up at the door. He fulfilled his promise.
Steve was.
He did, yeah. And he fulfilled, he kept his promise.
Absolutely.
Kept his promise. So she called, and when she said to me, Steve's here, that's all she said. And I hung up on her. Now, I had not been told. He could have been hurt. I didn't know. But it did, deep down. And I turned around and looked at Paula, his wife, and I said, he's gone. Cecil's gone, without really being told. So that's kind of how we all found out. Now, I remember you follow up on this. When you all left the accident scene, I assume, did you go back to the fire station?
Yeah. I'm not sure how Mom got to the fire station, but somebody went and got her and brought her down there.
Now, first off, tell everybody where the fire station was at that time.
That was at 201 West Oak Street. Now it's a parking lot.
Right. Yeah, the old one.
Yeah.
Across from Hager and Conda Funeral Home. So people, I guess, started we weren't there, but you all were congregating.
Well,
is that how that happened?
As I'm pulling up, Mom doesn't know yet. I see her.
Yeah.
And they get me away from her, and then they take her into the fire station, and they break the news to her.
Now, were your brothers and sisters with her?
No.
How did they find out? Do you remember? Don't know? Mm-hmm. Just somehow. Because if your life was like mine that day, it was pretty much a blur.
It was very blurry.
Yeah. I do remember seeing news stories, though, of all the people, the firemen and firemen's wives, who were congregating at the fire station that day. And you know, it had to be very difficult for those firemen that were left behind and their wives.
Absolutely.
The wives, because they're thinking in their mind, I mean, they're upset that two of our own are gone, but it's bittersweet because they've got to be saying, thank God it wasn't my husband. That's hard.
It's hard. And, you know, in Jesmond County, we've been hit hard here in the past few years. You know, we've been hit hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that understand.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet thing.
Yeah.
And to the point that I had some firemen's wives who even said to me, I felt guilty because I was thanking God it wasn't my husband.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's normal.
It's normal.
Right.
All right, so we have the accident and we lose them both. And that's kind of in a nutshell what happened. And from then on, it was a blur. Now, let's get away from that for a minute and talk about Cecil and Mike, the people. Now, I know your dad was involved a lot in basketball. ball. Give us some thoughts just about your dad as a dad.
Oh, I tell you, Doug, me and him were hand-in-hand buddies.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, I'd go down to the fire department with him, and, you know, they would train or clean the fire station. I'd be right there helping.
Yeah.
Big thing that we were into, we were into deer hunting and fishing. We loved it.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad I got to spend those kind of memories with Dad. And another thing, you know, we got to spend those last holidays.
Yeah.
I still remember it.
And, you know, he had a big influence on you in the fire business because, I mean, you're what, assistant chief now?
Yeah.
And you, I guess, is when you got old enough to join.
Yeah. I've been on this February will be 18 years.
Yeah. And this is the Jessamine County
Fire Department.
And you're right about those holidays. We were the same way. Of course, folks, this happened just a week after Christmas. A funny story about that. I remember that Christmas day. It snowed so hard.
Yep.
I mean, it was terrible snow that day. We were at my grandmother's, and we had just sat down to have lunch, and the tone went off. And I never will forget Cecil getting up, and we all sitting there going, oh, no, not now. Because when that tone went off, he ran.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
That's right.
But I remember him standing up and listening to that tone, and then all of a sudden he sat down, and he said, you know what? They got enough. I think I'll stay. Of course, I've always believed God made him stay because that was our last Christmas together. And it's funny how you can think back on things, and you probably have too, of things that happened in the last month, 2 months, 6 months that maybe was preparing you for all of this, but you didn't know it
right
at the time. So he was your buddy. And of course, you've got, like you say, a brother and sister, Mikey and Ashley. And let's stop right there and talk a little bit about them and you, because there's a bunch of grandchildren running around that Mike didn't have the pleasure of knowing. Talk about it. Now, you've got how many?
All right, I've got one. Okay. Her name is Macy.
Yeah.
My sister has two. She has Will and Brindley.
Yeah.
And my brother has, let's see, I'm going to count his up. He's got Blake, Gracie, Dylan, Michaela, and he just had one pass away,
right,
which was Lucas. And
right,
he was only 6 months old.
So 8 grandchildren total, yeah, counting Lucas. Wonder how Mike would have acted with those grandkids. What do you think?
I could just imagine. I know he's got one right now with him.
That's so right. That's, Lucas is with him.
That's right. But
they'd have been spoiled, right?
It'd have been fun.
Every one of them would have been spoiled.
It'd have been fun.
And of course, Brenda, your mother, is taking up the slack. She can spoil them all.
She's
for
doing
him
a very good job at it.
Now, Cecil, on the other hand, at that time, as we mentioned, had a 16-month-old child, Caleb. Eventually, his wife, Paula, was remarried, and her husband, Jeff, who I will mention was a godsend for Caleb, a great dad for him growing up. They had 3 of their own. So actually, Caleb has 2 sisters and a brother. And, you know, they're kind of considered as grandkids in our family, too, even though they're not blood related. My kids consider them as cousins, which has been a great relationship.
That's great.
Paula is still a sister-in-law. But Caleb has got a child,
yep,
who was born in January, and her name is Kaylee Ann, she was born not long after the anniversary of the accident. And I'm kind of like you. I think I know how Cecil would have acted as a granddaddy, but I would love to have seen it because I'd say it probably been just right foolish.
Absolutely. You know, I looking back at some old pictures of Dad and Ashley and him, you know, Ashley sitting in Dad's lap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daddy's girl. I couldn't imagine what he would do with mine.
Oh,
with,
yeah,
Macy, it'd be.
Yeah, you're right. Now, when Mike died, as we said, he had been working at City Nixville in the water department, and he was big. He knew the fire. He was in a basketball coach, mm-hmm, hunting and fishing,
baseball,
just into everything.
Had it all.
What kind of guy? And I know he's a buddy, and this is hard to say maybe because you're biased. But just describe him in a few words.
Well, I tell you,
Mike Wheeler, the person.
The easiest way to describe him is ask his coworkers.
Yeah.
From back then. You know, whenever we did the 20th year anniversary, mm-hmm, and I got the privilege to go and invite many old people that I haven't seen in a long time.
Right.
And they would just tell me stories of how good and compassionate Dad was.
Yeah.
And fair, you know. Just
good to,
real
good,
fair.
Good to know. Cecil was the type that was very quiet. It was hard to believe. A lot of people, in fact, came. I remember at visitation, they came up and said, well, we knew him and we knew you and we didn't know y'all were related because we were so much different. Cecil was very quiet, but I'll tell you what, he wasn't quiet if he was talking about something that was interesting to him, and that was firefighting. I will have to say that he breathed it. Like most of them do, but I remember people at the Lexington Fire Department talking about how if they had a test to study for and they couldn't find the answer, they'd go to him. He would find it or he'd know it. He was that into it. And if you got him talking about that,
We'd talk forever.
Forever. He really wasn't into much to anything else other than, you know, like hunting or anything like that. He was just a dad. He was a husband. He was a fireman. And that was his life, and that's what he wanted it to be. You know, just Cecil was just one of those type guys. Of course, he was a brother to me. While you lost a dad, I lost a brother. And you were talking about your best buddy, and that's kind of like the way I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
Cecil was the best friend I've ever had and will probably ever have. Just a good all-around guy who just enjoyed life. And I'd be interested in knowing how those guys would feel. Here's another thing we want to try to figure out how they'd feel. Now, when all this happened, folks, they were still in this old, dilapidated building down on Oak Street.
Had some good memories there, though, Doug.
You did.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I wish I could go back there.
But one of the projects that they both were in, and one of the dreams they both had, was a new fire station.
Yep.
And they didn't get to see that.
Yep.
But it occurred.
But it happened.
It'd be amazing to if they could come back and see that place out
yep.
there.
Then five more got built.
Yeah. around the county.
Right.
And I can't help but think that their vision, both of them, because I know they were both interested in it,
yeah,
laid the foundation for what we have today.
Yeah,
even though they weren't here to see it come to fruition. You know,
thanks to the Taylor family for donating that land.
Right.
Then the station was named after Dad and Cecil.
Right.
You know,
and this is the one at the corner of Union Mill and East Hickman, folks. Yeah. Just within a mile.
Ironically, I mean, it's right
just
close
within
to
a
where,
mile from where it happened.
Passed. Yeah.
You know, it was a hard day. And we, as you have said, have had many hard days losing people in the those kind of businesses, especially in the last year.
Yeah, it's been rough.
It's been hard. And I guess, you know, we had a policeman that we lost back in the 50s, Ketron, the Knoxville policeman, and really had not lost anybody until
Wayne Scott.
Oh, that's right. Burt Wayne Scott, who was
Scott,
a deputy sheriff.
Deputy sheriff had a heart attack, if I'm not
mistaken. And then on January 2nd of 93, we lost Mike and Cecil. And since then, you have a few.
November 27th is when Billy and Chuck got shot of 2001.
Yeah.
Chuck perished the 29th.
Right. And that was they were both deputy sheriffs. Northup left the fire scene, went home, heart attack.
Yep.
And then, of course, what's happened in the last year with Burke Rhodes, along with
John Mackey.
And it is hard. It is hard in on a community. It is. And I remember back then when it occurred with Mike and Cecil, it was tough, but the unity. And you remember.
I remember.
You know, I think if you had looked at me an hour before that and said, this is what's going to happen in the next 3 days. This is how this community is going to act.
Right.
I don't think I would have believed it.
No.
It was amazing.
No.
It was amazing.
Just seeing the procession and I remember driving down Main Street going to Maple Grove and seeing just hundreds of citizens on Main Street.
Right. Yeah, it was totally amazing.
Holding their hearts and flags. I mean, it was
amazing.
It was amazing.
The unity is there. And, of course, we appreciate all of those people who give their time and their efforts, whether it is protecting our homes from fire, whether it's protecting us from bad things that happen. You know, Gerald here, not only is a county fire assistant chief, he's a deputy sheriff, too. A lot of people out there in our community and every community in this country are basically living day by day protecting all of us. And we should never lose sight of what they do. And it's easy to do. You kind of take it for granted sometimes, and then something bad like this happens, and it all comes back. But one thing I will say about Mike and Cecil, they truly loved what they were doing. And I would almost be willing to bet, I know I can say this for Cecil, and I'd say you will agree, I don't know of anything else that those two would have rather been doing.
No, no.
When they died.
That's right.
And, you know, there's not a lot of people that can say that. There's not a lot of people that can say that they breathed their last breath doing what they loved.
They loved. They volunteering.
That was it.
There is no compensation.
Yep.
It was out of kindness.
You know, and they did it because they loved it and they cared.
Yeah.
And that's something that us as families hold on to. And that's what gets us through it. Anyway, we just wanted to take this time today to kind of remember those two guys. We've remembered a lot of people on All Things Jessamyn, but we want to remember them and the contributions they made and all of the other people who are involved in fire service, ambulance, police work, and the sacrifices that they make. We hope to God they never have to go through what we have, but I am so thankful that there are people out there who are willing to take that chance and to do that job. Gerald, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks to Gerald Wheeler for coming in and being on our program as we remember his dad, Mike Wheeler, my brother, Cecil Fain.
It's been a hard 24 years, folks.
But we appreciate all of you and the support that you have given our families over these years and the kind words and remembrances that you always had for Mike and Cecil. They did give their lives doing what they love, but they would not have had it any other way. We know that. And we do appreciate all of the people in law enforcement, firefighting, ambulance service for the jobs that they do every day in our communities.
And I appreciate you tuning in every Saturday morning to All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week. Don't forget, I'm on every weekday morning, also my regular show from 6 to 8 a.m. And it's all for you right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.